so far away. If you guys have your studies with you, can you open it up to the worksheet for habits? If you don't, it's okay. Lord, I thank you so much tonight that we can trust in you, that you're our only hope, but you are hope, Lord. There's nowhere else we can turn to. There's nowhere else we can look, because you're the God of the impossible. You do, Lord, what we can't do in ourselves, Lord. So I thank you so much for the hope you've given me personally, Lord. And I just want to say I love you tonight. And I pray as we look at your word at this topic of changing habits, you would encourage us, Lord, that it doesn't matter what we've been, what kind of ruts we have found ourselves in, you are able to change us from glory to glory, Lord. So I pray you'll speak to us through your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to just go through the worksheet and just kind of ask some questions. So I'm going to look for a little participation. Did anyone look up the word habit? What'd you come up? Let me hear some. Habit? That's the definition for habit? Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Sandy. Yes. That's it. Anybody else? Wow. Okay. A settled regular tendency. All right. I like the word settled because it's something we have become comfortable with. It just comes natural for us to do. And habits aren't necessarily a bad thing. If you don't understand this, God designed us to be creatures of habit. If he didn't, you would have a very difficult time in the morning, because you would have to think about every single move and every single thing you do. But what you don't realize is you learn things and you do them without even thinking. And that's what a habit is. It just becomes something that you do naturally. Now, our problem is that we've learned to do the wrong things and it comes natural to us. So let's look at Hebrews 5, because it tells us in there, you know, how to develop godly habits. And it says in verse 14, actually, that by reason of use of their senses, exercise to discern both good and evil. So it's something we regularly exercise ourselves in. That's how we develop godly habits. So how do you think sinful habits are developed? That was one of the questions there. And they gave us a scripture to look at, Jeremiah 13. Did anybody come up with anything out of that verse, those verses? Jeremiah 13, 23 and Jeremiah 22, 21. Yes, sir. Very good. Very good. That comes from verse 21, correct? Where it says, but you said, I will not hear. In other words, you're not going to tell me what to do. This has been your manner from your youth, it says. In other words, you've been like this since you were a kid, doing what you want to do. You didn't want to be told that you did not obey my voice. That's how we do it. So how do we begin to change sinful habits? Well, Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says what? Who wants to read that? Read it loud so everyone can hear you. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. anybody. There you go. Right. So we're told here, if we want to change our sinful habits, we have to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. And it also describes in these verses that that's not going to be easy, because there's something in you, there's something in me that doesn't want to walk in the Spirit, and it wars against the ways of God. It's called our fallen nature that we all have. We're all born with it. It comes from Adam and Eve when they rebelled against God, and it was passed down. It says through one man, death and sin entered the world, and we all have inherited that corrupt nature. Now, even though we come to God, and even though we give our lives to God and put our faith in Jesus, we're still in a process, or God has in a process where we're learning to put off that old nature that doesn't want to submit to God, that doesn't think like God, and we have to learn to deny it. That's why Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. So that's something we have to do. We have to deny ourselves, our own way of doing things, our own thinking. Deny himself, take up his cross daily. So it's an everyday battle. It's not a one-time event where, you know, maybe we went to an altar, or maybe we said a prayer, Jesus, I surrender my life to you, and it's finished. No, it's daily choices that we learn. That's what walking in the Spirit really is. It's just a daily, practical, yielding our will to what God's Word says we're supposed to do, denying ourselves. And it's hard work. And Jesus was straight with us. He says, you're going to have to take up your cross daily and follow me. So did anyone have some sinful habits that you wrote down? I'm not asking, you don't have to share them tonight. I had a few. One was kind of funny. But, you know, it's still the flesh. But I was at my sister's last night, and I noticed I had a habit because I was doing this study. And I noticed, Diane, every time I go to your house, I go right to the kitchen and I walk through and I look at all the counters and I see what's there, because they always have food in their house. And last night I caught myself, I was like, what am I doing? I always do this. And I went in there like three times and I wasn't even hungry. I was like, man, I got to stop doing this. No wonder why I'm not losing weight. But you see, we just do things. So that's one I'm working on. How about like grumbling or just complaining? That's a habit, right? So I'm not going to ask your habits, but if we want to change, we got to let the Lord show us things. We can pray prayers like Psalm 139. The last two verses there where it says, search me, O God, try me. Know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way of everlasting. So you pray like that, you get over the word of God, God will help you. I had to do that. I had to really sit this morning and say, Lord, what are some things in my life I really need to work on? And you know what helped me? I got in scripture and I just started going down the deeds of the flesh, in Galatians and Ephesians and different places. And man, the Holy Spirit really helped me with some things. Helped me see some things that, you know what? I need to let God change me more in these areas. So that's important. So I'm just going to go through now the second page there where it just says changing habits. And we're just going to look at a couple of scriptures tonight. I'm going to be preaching on this Sunday. I'm actually going to preach on the verse in Jeremiah where it says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? And I'm going to preach. I did a message on that many years ago, and I'm going to redo it. And it's just so real to me as I was going through this, how God took me someone that was in a rut for so many years that I thought was impossible. I really believe I just can't change. I've just always, this is all I have known. There's just no way I'm going to change. But somehow, little by little, choices here, yielding to God, God changed the color of my skin, the leper spots. He did something that in the natural you can't do. That's why he says that. I mean, I'm the same color, but you get what I'm saying, right? I've changed inside. God has done something that I thought was impossible. So habits, they are trained responses to situations and to events. Now, here's our problem growing up, okay? Most of us growing up didn't know how to respond, didn't know how to deal with stuff that happens just by living in a fallen world where people hurt you, where maybe you don't have the perfect parents, where maybe things happen at school, whatever it is, we're constantly being challenged on how are we going to respond to life's troubles, to life's situations, to life's trials. And if we don't know what God says about it and how to respond, what will happen is it'll lead us into sin. It'll lead us into ungodly habits. I mean, that's what happened to me. And it's one choice after another choice after another choice. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God and to let God renew our minds, because we learned over many years how to respond and how to think and how to deal with situations the wrong way. And we have to unlearn that. In Jeremiah, again, it says, this has been your manner from your youth. You did not obey my voice. That's our problem. We didn't obey God. We did it our way. And we know what the outcome of that is. It's usually not good. So practice, a lot of practice, leads to sinful habits. 2 Peter 2, verse 14 says, it's talking about people who have eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. It says they have a heart trained. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. So we see, again, a heart that's been trained in that. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14 shows us practice. We need to learn to be accustomed and discerning what is right. And Paul is confronting Christians, people who are followers of God, who have not learned what they should have learned. They should have been a lot further on than they were. And he said to them in verse 13, whoever partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. In other words, a baby is on the bottle, right? And he's unskilled in the ways of life. And Paul's comparing their condition to that. He says, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use of their senses have exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, we're training ourselves in the Word of God, in the meat of the Word of God. And we're training, we're renewing our minds to think like God does, so we can discern both good and evil. So we'll know what to do when we get in situations. Really, when you think about it, that's what biblical counseling is all about. It trains us how to think and act biblically. That's why I love biblical counseling, because really it's discipleship. It teaches people how to live and walk out this Christian thing and this relationship that I have with God. A lot of us just don't know what to do. You know how many times we've had people that just say, well, I don't know what the Bible says. I don't know what the Bible says about marriage or what I'm supposed to do with this or that. But it says everything about it. But we got to get in there and we got to exercise ourselves. We got to learn what God says about those, so we can change. So we can change. Ephesians 4 is a wonderful portion of scripture. That's a good place to go if you want to know, like, well, God, what, I don't know what needs to change. That's kind of what I did this morning. That's a good portion of scripture to maybe let God examine your life, because it kind of lists out different things we need to put off and different things we need to put on. So I'm just going to read it. Ephesians 4:17, it says, "This I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." In other words, if we're a believer, if we're a Christian, we shouldn't live our lives, we shouldn't think like we used to when we lived in the world, when we didn't know God. He's saying that that shouldn't be how you operate or how you do life now. Because people that don't know God, it says their understanding is darkened and it's alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all kinds of uncleanness with greediness. And I know what it was like to live like that. That typified my life for many years. That was all I knew. And it doesn't make me better than anybody now who maybe still lives that way. It doesn't give me the right, if I get around someone that doesn't know the Lord and maybe talks like I used to talk, and say, oh, see, that's a Pharisee. That's a religious person that looks down on other people. But I understand, if anything, my heart goes out. It's like, man, Lord, I remember what it was like to live that way. God, just come to this person. If I have an opportunity, share the love of Christ with them. We're to love sinners because we're sinners and God loved us. Then it says, but you have not so learned Christ. So in other words, if I have become a Christian, supposedly I'm learning something different now. You have not learned, so learn Christ, if indeed you have heard him and you've been taught with him. Well, how do we hear him and how are we taught by God? Does that just happen? How does that happen? Reading the word, we don't forsake the fellowship, right? Encouraging, sharing the word, encouraging with hymns and psalms, sitting under the teaching. But I want to say mostly, it's daily time in the word. It's a daily seeking God for yourself. Because you know what will happen? And I'll try it now. What did I preach on last Sunday? Anyone tell me quick? All right, see? You forgot already. All right. See, you should have took that. You should have got in the word for yourself all week and let God regurgitate that in you and get it into you. And then when I asked you just now, it would have just popped out. But see, that's what we do. We're like the guy in James. We look in the mirror, we turn away, and we forget what the guy looked like in the mirror. That's why it's so important. We got to be in the word of God. We got to be seeking God every day. We got to be renewing the mind every day because we forget so quickly. And we got to own it for ourselves. I said that last Sunday in the message. We can't live on someone else's coattails. Remember, I said last Sunday, I am here to shepherd. I am here to guide you, to give you truth. That's what God has called me to do. But it's up to you to take that and do something with it. If you don't, it profits you nothing, right? If we just come on Sunday and we just hear and we say, amen, amen, but then the rest of the week we don't apply it, we don't get in a word for ourselves, it profits you nothing. And then Paul will have to say, you should be eating meat by now and you're still on milk. Come on. All right, I'm not getting on you. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Okay? So that doesn't mean go to the Christian bookstore and get all the bestsellers and learn about Christ. Please don't do that. Get in your Bible. Get in your Bible, because that is the truth. Okay? It's the Word of God. Use that to know truth. Okay? All right. So then it goes, so that you put off concerning your former conduct. In other words, how you used to live. That old man who grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then it just goes down a list, and it's just practical. You know what? If you are a liar, stop lying and tell the truth. When someone asks you something, just tell the truth. Is anyone here still guilty of that? You get on the spot for something and someone asks you and you just lie. It just comes out. It's not like a blatant lie. You know, we call them little white lies. It's still a lie. And I've done that, and then I'm like, that's not true. Why did I just say that? Because I'm a sinner. And if I'm not under the control of the Holy Spirit, that's what comes out. Deception, lie. So we got to put that off and determine, I'm going to speak truth. When people ask me things, when I get in situations, I am going to speak truth. Because I used to be a liar. My wife can tell you. Man, did I have the stories. When I'd be out getting high all night, and man, this happened. Oh, you wouldn't imagine what happened. And, you know, I was a master liar. She always knew I was lying. That's the thing. We think we're slick, but so put away lying. Or, you know what, if you're an angry person, easily given to anger, get angry if you get angry, but don't sin. In other words, you're going to get angry, but you don't have to sin. If you feel that anger, go with God. Go get with God. Don't open your mouth. Just go to God and say, God, help me. God, I just want to turn this over to you and just repent or whatever's not right in your heart and get right and don't sin. Don't sin in your anger. God will help you with that. If you stole things, don't do that anymore. Work with your hands and then learn to give to other people. You see, it's just doing the opposite. Corrupt, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth.
Know that you can act.
Hey, what was that? I'm amazed because I get around people and I actually don't hear it often. I must have been really bad, but I don't hear people talk like I used to talk, but just out of every other word out of the mouth is a curse word in just normal conversation. I used to talk like that. Just a normal conversation, but not like a mild obscenity. I'm talking bad word. Every other word. And just talking. And it's like, I think about it now, and it was like, it almost seems weird to me that I used to talk like that. And so I'll get around someone, I'm like, wow. And then the Lord will say, well, that's what you used to sound like. And I'm just like, wow. I don't. You understand, that's how God changes us. Now I'm like, that's weird that I even talked like that. It's amazing. So don't let any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now that's not just cursing. That can be unkind words. It could just be a tone in our voice, you know, that hurts somebody. Instead of imparting grace and building them up. I'm still working on that one. Being from New York doesn't help, but that's not an excuse. Listen to what it says. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. In other words, it grieves God when we do that, when we hurt one another, when we do those kinds of things. Don't do that. It says be kind to one another. Be tender, just like God was kind to you. And forgave you. See, that's the motivator. It's not like this human, what do you call that, hon? Behavior modification. That's what they teach you in the world. That's not what we're talking about here. You know, like What was that slogan with the drugs? Say no or something like that. What was that? Just say no. Just say no. Well, yeah, that didn't work for me. I needed something radical to happen in my heart. And it wasn't just choices. It was God revealing himself to me, someone explaining the message of the cross, me understanding what a wretched sinner I was, but yet Jesus died for me, and repenting and accepting by faith what he did there for me, and just the realization that as vile as I was, as right it would have been for God to send me to hell, he forgave me. He loved me. He was nothing but merciful to me. So I want to please him now. So that's my motivator. And as I am compelled by love and yield to him and say yes, and I'm a doer of his word, in that process, he changes me. He makes me a different person. It's amazing. And it's, so it's not behavior modification. He literally changes my heart. Transformation. It's awesome. So put off, and you can go down that list if you want. But in Philippians 2, verse 12 there near the bottom, it says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So in other words, we're not left alone. God works in us. He does. We see that in Galatians and in those verses there. But there's two sides to that coin, okay? God works in us, but we have our part in it as well. He does expect us, or I'll say it this way, he requires us to obey him, to be doers of his word. And that's where the working out your own salvation comes in. That's where the during the week, applying yourself, getting in the word. I know for me, what I'm doing, and I even talked to my wife about it, shared with her, you know, some habits that I just see, you know, that needs to change. I'm making a plan. I'm making an effort because I want God to help me. I want to change in these areas. So, you know, I have to include it in my prayer time. I have to read scriptures about it. And I have to do it every day because I'll forget very easily. But if I'm doing that, what happens then, and it happened today, we were in the car. I'll tell you one of mine. I'm a little impatient still in the car. Okay? I admit it. Been in Kentucky for 24 years now, and it's still there. That New York road rage, come on, get out of the way thing. And people here, they just don't get out of the way. They just go slow, and they don't care. Yeah. And I always get them in front of me, and I think God does that for a reason. Happened today. And so today, we're driving in. I was just telling her about that. And this person, and there goes the mouth. And I said, there it was, because I was studying, I was praying about it. I said, man, there I go. I told her, I got to stop doing that. Because God told me you need to pray for them. Instead, they probably need prayer. That's why they're in front of you driving slow. They need someone to pray for them. And you can pray for them. You can see the back of their head and pray. And you know what? When I pray for them, it's okay. And it was an old man in a truck, and I was just inside. I say, oh, God, just bless this old man. I don't know if he knows you, God. Just come to him. But please also make him hurry up. No. So you see what I'm saying? You got to cooperate. And you got to persevere in it. I'll just end with this. Take up his cross daily. It's a daily process. All right. So I'm going to give you a little assignment, okay, to close tonight. The next page is the homework, okay, and it says think of five things. Just pick one. I'm being real nice. Just one. Pick one. something that you just are like, God, I'm tired of this. I want to change in this area. And make a concerted effort to go home tonight, get out a pad, or if you do it electronically, whatever, and lay out a plan, come up with scriptures you can read and start working on, and then maybe next week we can hear a testimony from somebody on how God helps you or is helping you. It's not going to happen in a week. It takes time. But how about that, okay? I'm just going to challenge you with that, okay? Just one thing to work on. I know what mine is. What? Food? All right. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to ask you next week how you doing with that. All right. Lord, I thank you that you love us enough that you don't leave us the way we are. Thank you, Lord. I don't even know how you got me to where I am today. And I know I still got a long way to go, Lord, but I'm so grateful. Because I know what a scourge I was to so many people around me. Mean, unthankful, unholy, just cruel, didn't care about anybody. But thank you, God, you do change us. I think about my sweet wife, that people look at her and they hear a testimony and they're like, you? I just can't picture that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was worse than me. God is amazing. Tim, you have no idea how much you have changed in the last however months it is. You have no idea. Rose and I talk about it all the time. What a godly man you're becoming. It's awesome. It's awesome. So Lord, thank you, Lord. For those that want it, Lord, you are amazing. You change us from glory to glory. And it's into your image, Lord, that we're changed. And you set us free. You release us from things that have controlled us. God, you break the bondage of sin and habits, even though they've been there for years and years and years, Lord. There's no power. There's no chain too hard that you can't break it. So I thank you tonight, and I pray we'd be encouraged tonight, Lord, to seek you and to cooperate with you and to let you do what only you can do in our hearts, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Bless this word to the hearers, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.